Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. By the way, shout out to my buddy George, best friends in high school, and he is the one who just texted me and reminded me that was a Krako power booster that we put in that 68 Mustang. Yes, we did. Right there in the driveway. Put that bad boy in and wired it myself. It was probably a fire hazard, too, every time we hit the button to turn it on. But yeah, that was good times in my 68 Mustang. Copper, what was your first car? I think I may have asked you this before. What was your first car?
My first car was a little white Toyota that my sister crashed in the first week I owned it.
What? All right, were y'all still on talking terms after that?
Yes. Because then insurance gave me a new Nissan instead. So
now,
that
my
was my
brother,
real
by the way, my speaking of which, I did find out at one point my dad like made me let my brother have the car on a Friday night, the 68 Mustang, mm-hmm. which was letting someone take my child to the to the county fair or something. It's like, okay, what are you doing? What do you hold her hand the whole time? No. And later on, and Chris, if you're listening, I'm telling the whole world right now. Later on, I was surprised to find that he had to go to driving school to work off the ticket that he got that night while he was doing something like 75 miles an hour down Jones Valley Road or something crazy. But that's the 68 Mustang. That was my car. Well, listen, I gave that whole thing about the car, the monologue, the job with Dodge. That was kind of my lead in, obviously, to the fact that what a cool country we live in. And I believe that. And I know that not everybody has had the same opportunities, right? Has had the same opportunities. But I do believe that opportunities exist for everybody in this country. You can tell me that you believe in privilege, or you can believe in systemic racism, and I will argue you down at every given opportunity. Because while I believe that racism exists, I do not believe we are systemically racist. And while I do believe that there are folks who have opportunities because their family gave them a leg up over another family's position in life, it does not mean in this country that race is a determiner of your ability to succeed, because there are, everywhere you look, people of every generation, every color, every creed, every demographic who are succeeding in this country. And if you choose not to succeed, then you're shorting your own self. That being said, one of the things that I'm going to focus on here for a little while, and we'll come back after the break and do more of it, but is the fact that liberals cannot seem to distance themselves from the idea that racism is not resonating with the average person in this country. It is resonating within their bubble. It is resonating within the liberal progressive bubble. But even moderate Democrats don't buy into the fact or the idea that this is a systemically racist nation. And I'll tell you, one of the Democrats who I most admire in terms of her ability to speak truth to power is Tulsi Gabbard, who's not in office now. She's the former Hawaii Democratic Congresswoman, Tulsi Gabbard, who actually ran for president. Didn't make it through the primary. In my opinion, I think Charlene and I were watching one night, and I said, that's the Democrat we should be scared of, but it's not the one they're going to choose. And I was right. That's the one we should. Tulsi Gabbard is someone who has a military background. She has served in a war zone. She understands what it means to, rise up from next to nothing. She works hard, and she, by the way, is someone who will work across lines, even though she may be socially progressive. She's more fiscally conservative, and it's just interesting to watch her speak to her own party, one of which was an interview she did with Tucker Carlson last night, looking at a story on Fox. And she literally calls out her own party to reject racialization, she says, because she says it's being fomented and leading our society further down a path of division and tension. And she says, we absolutely need more than just leaders speaking of problems that are bigger than humanity. It's in manipulating the American people, she says. And it's everything is being racialized. And she goes on to point out, it's an intentional strategy to tear us apart based on the color of our skin, because there's some political gain to be had in it, and don't care about the destruction they leave in their wake. And I agree with Democrat Tulsi Gabbard completely. I mean, when I see someone across party lines who says something I agree with, or who does something I agree with, I'll say it. And this is one that I do. And truthfully speaking, She is absolutely on the mark here, because it is an intentional, and she says that, it is an intentional strategy to tear us apart based on the color of our skin, because there's some political gain to be had in it. And they don't care about the destruction they leave in their wake. And that is absolutely the fact. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about your Secretary of Transportation. You know, the guy in charge of the bottlenecks that are keeping the supply chain jammed up? Well, he apparently came back from his 2 months of paternity leave when he and his partner adopted their child. And he is basically now telling us the infrastructure bill that has passed will give him billions to be able to correct racist roads. Racist roads. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that when we get right back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, 2:29 p.m. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVMN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our WVNN listening area, that's AM and FM, that means you're getting outside of North Alabama, South Tennessee. Just know that we can go with you wherever you are. All you got to do is get on any device, your phone included, and just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I like to say. And we got folks that listen all over the place. I was talking to a guy the other night at an event that Copper and I were at for the Alabama Policy Institute and Right Side Radio down in Birmingham. He was telling me that he loves listening to the show down in Mobile. And so, how cool is that? So listen, just know that you can go there and you can take us on vacation with you, the whole deal, all right? Hey, so here's number one of the triple dipper. Racist roads. How can that be? Well, so here's the deal. I have no doubt that there were times when decisions have been made in the past, and maybe even sometimes now, that were one-sided, that were designed to benefit someone over another, or whatever, to include the laying of asphalt. That happens, all right? Building bridges. Although, when I look at the same people that are trying to tear down statues that are now in charge of our country, I cannot help but think, okay, don't get carried away, all right? Don't start, no. There's not a racism built into every single road. And the idea, though, is that there's billions right now, literally billions, in the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that was passed. And I'm not kidding when I say this. Let me find my reference point here. I'm looking at, okay, where'd this one come from? Oh, story on NPR. NPR says that there is roughly upwards of $20 billion in the infrastructure bill that is designed to, quote, reconnect neighborhoods cut off by historic investments. You know what that means? They're going to go look at who they believe was disenfranchised, and they're going to try to change the lay of the roads, even to the point that Pete Buttigieg, who just got back from his 2 months of paternity leave not long after being appointed to a cabinet-level position, where he and his partner adopted a child, he's fresh off of his paternity leave, and he has decided to make sure that the whole nation knows that racism exists within our road structures. And no, Copper, it was paternity leave, not maternity leave. It's anyway.
Is that how he identifies, though?
Yeah, I think it is. Yes, he's the paternity. So so I think, though, that what we're looking at is they are going to claim that racism is what shaped the roads in this country. Now, let me just go ahead and say, there are claims out there. There were fights back in the day in the 50s and 60s. But let me just point out to you, if a bridge was built in the 50s or 60s, that would be 50 or 60 or more years ago, all right? And are we going to tear them down now? Well, Buttigieg seems to imply that we are. Let me do this. Copper, you go ahead and clip two. Let me know. Are you ready with clip two? Here's the deal. Tucker Carlson started this last night. And in usual fine fashion, Tucker was cracking me up. So I'm going to be even-keeled here. We're going to play some Tucker. It's a little bit of a longer clip than I would normally play, but I'm going to play some Tucker who's going to also let Pete Buttigieg speak for a moment. And then I'm going to come back later on with some more commentary that kind of cuts to the quick of where this thing really is. Hit clip two, Copper.
You may have wondered what would happen if the dumbest people in the world gathered together in the same room and tried to have a conversation. Well, for one thing, hilarity would ensue. It happened today. The Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg held a press conference to brag about the new, quote, infrastructure bill that Biden just signed. A highly aggressive know-nothing called April Ryan, who apparently works for some kind of website, asked Buttigieg this question. No, we are not making this up. We pulled the words directly from the transcript. Quote, can you give us the construct of how you will deconstruct the racism that was built into roadways? End quote. Now, in a normal country, if you heard that question, you'd ask the person to repeat the question because obviously you must have misheard what she said. And if she said it again, you would laugh at her because that's truly insane. Roads can't be racist. You can't build racism into a road. Roads are made of sand and gravel and asphalt. Ask any road builder. Roads cannot be racist any more than toasters or sectional couches can be racist. They are inanimate objects. They're not alive. That seems obvious, but apparently Pete Buttigieg didn't know it. Or maybe he did know it, but he was afraid to say it. In any case, here's how he responded.
I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices.
Here we have news. According to the Department of Transportation, the secretary, overpasses in New York were designed to keep buses of black and Puerto Rican kids from getting to the beach. And yet, here's the amazing part. Those very same overpasses somehow allow buses full of white kids to get through. That sounds like magic. How does it work? Well, it's possible the overpasses that Buttigieg referred to are actually drawbridges manned by vigilant bigots with binoculars. Here comes the Puerto Rican bus. Lower the overpass. You may laugh, but in a systemically racist country, it's entirely possible. Or maybe, come to think of it, the problem is the buses themselves. In New York, children of color are being herded into unusually tall buses, like those top-heavy double-deckers they used to have in London that the Beatles sang about, just to prevent them from reaching the ocean. You can't get to the beach in a bus like that. And we don't know exactly what's happening here, but we agree with Pete Buttigieg 100% that it's morally wrong. It's not who we are. So thank heaven he's got $1 trillion to get to the bottom of the racist road problem in this
there nation. You go. Stop it right there. Wow. So in his usual fine fashion, Tucker almost makes parody out of reality. All right. And so that's where we are. Now keep in mind, there may have been some inequities at times in the decisions of where to place roads. But the actual statement from Pete Buttigieg is that there is inherent racism into the roadways. And he went on, by the way, he labeled a bridge in New York that he says, you heard it, that was designed to keep buses of black and brown kids from other neighborhoods from being able to traverse into. How about it was just a stupid bridge that was built too low? Because buses go both directions, right? I mean, do they stop to think about that kind of thing? And then I've got an article here. This is that one that came from NPR. And it's literally titled, A Brief History of How Racism Shaped Interstate Highways. All right. Keep in mind, these are your tax dollars. This is the $1.2 trillion that 19 Republicans in the Senate and 13 Republicans in the House decided to join with all the Democrats to make sure we spent money on. It gives billions of dollars, $20 billion in this particular article, to, quote, reconnect neighborhoods cut off by historic investments. It also looks to target 40% of the benefits of climate and clean infrastructure investments to disadvantaged communities. Now, what they're going to do now is they're going to claim that the Federal Highway Act of 1956 basically was racist in its original onset. And there's evidence. I get it. I'm reading. And by the way, I will be first to admit that inequities do occur. However, when I look at this, they're pointing out in this article, NPR, there were times when there were local protests, things like in Greenwich Village in New York, they opposed a road and got it shut down back then. There were also examples in Washington, D.C. There were protests where they would have signs that said things like "No white men's roads through black men's homes." There's claims that eminent domain was used by a government more in the disenfranchised or minority neighborhoods than there were in white neighborhoods. I can't speak to that now, but I do know this. It was a long time ago. And if you're going to use our tax dollars to tear down working bridges that were allegedly built before you were born, Pete Buttigieg, and do such a wasteful thing with our tax dollars, it's going to be a long way to the end of that $1.2 trillion. A long way. Here's an article that I'm looking at right now. It came out of Forbes. Republicans mock Buttigieg for saying that highways are racist, but here's what he meant. Oh, okay, here's what he meant. Here's the apologetic article. And they go on to say in this particular article that they even cite a Princeton University history professor named Kevin Cruz. The history of highway construction shows that race was a significant factor in the placement of new roadways in the 50s and 60s. New interstate highways weren't built on a blank landscape. They had to be routed through existing neighborhoods, which were largely destroyed in the process of construction. Well, yes, that's probably true. I've seen that even in modern times. The new roads come through. We got an entire development in Gadsden, I remember, where an entire shopping complex was built, and they're trying to extend Interstate 759 spur off of I-59. And yeah, it changed the landscape. And I'm not a fan of eminent domain. Don't get me wrong, not at all. But what I'm saying is, if the roads exist now, are you planning to use our tax dollars to tear up those roads because of allegations of racism that are some 70 years old? Because that's what's being said. In a $1.2 trillion initiative that a group of Republicans chose to jump on board with to help the Democrats get it passed, we are looking at upwards of, I don't know, thousands of miles of roadway that are being alleged as being racist. Here's one right now in the end of this article from Forbes. One highway that could be targeted by Biden's infrastructure plan is the Claiborne Expressway in New Orleans. The highway was built in the 60s. The 60s. That would be 60 years ago. In the 60s, and sliced right through a predominantly black neighborhood along North Claiborne Avenue, wrecking the makeup of the area. Are they going to rebuild the houses that were there before? Is that the plan? Are they going to tear up the road? It says activists have attempted to bring down the highway for years, and now Biden's plan could answer their wishes. The road was one of the few projects specifically listed on the White House plan detailing the American Jobs Plan. If folks, I'm just telling you, if you believe for a second that roads are racist, I would guarantee you that whatever the demographic makeup of those neighborhoods was 60 to 70 years ago has very likely morphed and changed, developed differently. There are now commercial businesses where maybe there are homes. Things change over time. And if you're going to go ahead and uproot all that and steer things away, guess what's going to wind up happening? You're going to have protests of people that don't want those roads and bridges changed. Because 60 and 70 years later, an entire generation has grown up driving on those roads, and society has grown around those roads, and the civil rights movement has come, and this is not the same society in which those roads were built, even if they were built with racist overtones. You cannot go back and do reparations for things that occurred a generation prior. You cannot use our tax dollars today to pay for the sins of yesterday. Because what we're looking at right now is they would tear down, literally tear down, the things that exist that we use in order to build them back to a place that we can't use them. And that is not who we are as a nation. I got another clip on this. We're going to play it right after the break. Copper, let's head to that short break. And when we come back, have clip three ready for me then, Copper. All right, folks, listen. I got more of this. But racist roads? Racist roads? Really? That's the claim. Pete Buttigieg telling us we're all racist for driving on these roads. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Talking about racist roads. Did you know our roads are racist? I didn't. In fact, I think it's, while there may be a little something out there that says that some road was put in the wrong place or in a difficult place or in a more disadvantaged neighborhood, I defy you to prove to me that the road systems across this nation are systemically racist. Just got a message on social media from Tate. Yeah, Tate, I got your message, man. He says, racist roads, that's hilarious. First off, the demographics of every neighborhood I know has changed in 50 or 60 years, so wouldn't they just be destroying roads that are now used by those that are supposedly being discriminated against back in the day? Yes, I agree with you, Tate. That is spot on. Anyway, so listen, I want to do this before I run out of time. I got a clip here. Will Kane, who has some of the best commentary on Fox, he was with Harris Faulkner on the Faulkner Focus, and we're talking about this very issue. And keep in mind, by the way, Harris Faulkner herself is black, all right? And Will Kane is white, and they were having a dialogue about this. And she was agreeing with everything that he said. Copper, you got clip three? Go ahead and tell me if you're ready, because I'm going to go ahead and do clip three right now. Yes, we do? All right, let's listen to this, because I think he says, here's the crux of it. There are more important things we should be focusing on right now than tearing down roads and bridges and trying to claim racial division and systemic racism just to prove your political points. There are things that are more important if there are indeed people who are disadvantaged by our society in some way. Play clip two or clip three.
And not be racist. And as Tucker pointed out, it's laughable to suggest that they are. But as unpopular as this may be, there's a hint, there's a kernel of truth in what Mayor Pete and the activist April Ryan had to say. And that is, when much of the highway system was built, it's true that some of it was built upon eminent domain of poor neighborhoods, poor black or brown neighborhoods. That is a truth. But then the question becomes, what do you do about that truth? Because what I would suggest is this, and this is the important part. If you truly care about racial equality in this country, tearing down an overpass wouldn't be in the top 20 things you would hope to accomplish. And in fact, it might be among the bottom 20 things you hope to accomplish. I say this to you, Harris, as someone who knows you as a person and as a professional speaking to the public right now. I care about not racial equity, racial equality. And I would suggest right now, how about fixing the broken school system that sets black and brown kids behind for decades? How about stop trying to shut down charter schools? How about any of the numerous things you could do, like accomplishing a better crime rate in inner cities? Or how about even this, inflation, which hits the poorest among us and disproportionately affects black and brown people? Get inflation under control. How about any of these things that would improve the lives? But here, now let's square the circle here, Harris. Here's the deal. Those things don't help, and I'm going to be real about this, the race hustlers, those that hope to profit themselves off peddling grievance and victimhood. If you give $1 trillion to the infrastructure plan to Congress, it empowers activists, it empowers politicians to continue to peddle things that don't really help people. And it's funny because those same people are the ones that stand in the way of measures that could. They are the ones that stand in the way of an expansion of charter schools. They're the ones that stand in the way of expanding police departments. They stand in the way of things that can really help minorities and focus on things like overpasses.
There you go. Stop there. Wow. Wow. Nailed it. Nailed it, Will Kane. Nailed it. Folks, that's the thing. If you are someone who believes that racism is causing division in our society or harm to someone, and by the way, racism exists, not systemic racism, but racism exists, I get it. If you are believing that there is a disenfranchisement of a demographic, if you are someone who believes that there is more that can be done to assist people to come out of a situation in which they do not feel like they have the same measure of opportunity, well, then tearing down a bridge is doing nothing for them. That is the same as taking the statue of Thomas Jefferson out of the town square because the founder, one of the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution, is somehow considered to be no longer valid because he owned slaves. That's a farcical argument, and it belies the fact that that bridge, that statue, may represent so much more now, 70 years later. And you're going to use the tax dollars for that when you could be fixing schools, fixing crime rates, actually doing something for people. But he's right. It's the race hustlers who are making a profit off of this continued division. The same thing Tulsi Gabbard was talking about last night that I mentioned to you earlier, that they are doing it for political gain. That is not who we are as a nation. All right, folks, listen. We come back, I'm going to number two in the Triple Dipper. Yes, sir. Got a friend, Tony Pugh, calling in. going to talk about the lawsuit he just agreed to be a part of to push back on vaccine mandates. You're going to want to hear his call. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.